الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: العلم نور، الصدقة برهان، الصيام جند، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Today, 22nd January 2010, we will discuss about Hadith of Jibreel in Houghton. Firstly, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. And we praise Allah ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us of the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Deen is easy, Shariat is complete, perfect, and sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a famous hadith, you must have heard it, but listen to our exposition about it. The hadith is called Hadith of Jibreel, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was visited by Jibreel alayhi salam. Summary of the hadith is that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in were with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They narrate, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala hu narrate, that a person came in the presence of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having jet black hair, milky white clothing, and we did not recognize him. He came straight to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now can you imagine that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, Sahaba around him, and this person comes straight. That means he came in between them, and he came and sat by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Atayyah's position, and his knees touching the knees of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no signs of joy were visible on him, although we did not recognize him. That means that first of all, he's not from Medina, but he's a foreigner, and still no signs of journey, because remember, no tar roads those days. How he came? There is absolutely, he's immaculate, jet black hair, pure white clothing, came said by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about 5 questions. And he asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about Islam. Tell me about Iman. Tell me about Ihsan. These are the first 3 leading questions he asked. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the first one, he said that Islam, and then beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the 5 pillars. That to say, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, to perform salat on its time, to fast the month of Ramadan, to make Hajj, and to give zakat. So the person posing the question, he says sadaqta. He says definitely you have stated the truth. So Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala, they astonished that the person posing the question upon receiving the answer, he is saying, I will accept the truth. Because generally, the person who is posing the question, he does not know the answer. That's not South Africa. South Africans know everything. What do you say? That's why Muftis are getting our job in our country. Then he asked Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell me about Iman. And what you studied in your madrasa days, Iman and Mujmal Mufassal, this is what Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him. To believe in Allah, to believe in the Malaika, to believe in the Kitab, to believe in the Rasul, to believe in the day of resurrection, and to believe that Qadri Sharri Billahi Ta'ala, that everything good and bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So exactly what you studied in Iman al-Mujmal al-Mufassal, Nabi Akram Sarasim told him. And the person said, Sadaqta. Again, now Sahaba are surprised. Then he asked him, what is Ihsan? What is Ihsan? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if to say you see him. And if you cannot do that, know fully well he sees you. Then he asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the hour? When is the hour? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person asking and the person replying, both are in the same position. Meaning both don't know. Both don't know the exact time of the hour. Then he asked, can you see some signs of the hour? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, a few signs of the hour. He said, that when the maid servant will give birth to her master, and when the shepherd owning black camels will build lofty buildings, palatial buildings. And then in one narration, Nabi Sallallahu went on to say that and five things are in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he read the last ayat of Surah Luqman. That is the summary of this hadith, which we call Hadith of Jibreel. Qurtubi, Allama Qurtubi, Rahmatullah Alayhi says that this hadith is like Surah Fatiha to the Quran. Like how Surah Fatiha encompasses the whole Quran, this hadith encompasses the whole, all the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The gist of all the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lies in what we have just said. Now the question arises that how come? Why? How this hadith is so powerful? So let us look at it again. First, the person, just to conclude, when the person went away, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, do you know who was that? Sahaba said, Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. He said, that was Jibreel alayhi wa sallam who came to teach us the deen. So this is educational hadith. And also, that no one recognized it. Generally, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, he should come in the form of a sahabi called Hazrat Ziyad Qalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he never come in that form also, because they could have recognized him. So this is our sahabi, and Jibreel alayhi salam has come, and this is our companion, Jibreel alayhi salam has come in this form. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him about Islam. Now Islam, Iman and Ihsan he spoke about. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Islam is all the external things. That is Salat performance. Salat external. Zakat external. You give the Zakat. Hajj, you perform the Hajj external. Fasting external. And recitation of the Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is somewhat makes an academical objection. But that is not external. Then we say, no, it is external because we read the Kalima. When you read the Kalima, you listen to it, you hear it. So when you listen to it, hear it, and you verbalize it, that means it is external. So what basically is talking about all the external things, and he has said this is Islam. That means everything that is external is Islam. Everything of a Muslim that is outside, visible, appearance is Islam. So that means movement from Mina to Arafat, Arafat to Muzdalifah, external, that's Islam. Giving of zakat on sheep, cattle, camels, goats, buffaloes, external. Performance of salat, standing, going in ruku, etc., external. Everything is external, pertains to Islam, wearing of the hat and adoring the kurta, keeping the beard, eating on the floor. All these things are external, pertaining to Islam. So Islam basically is what you and I have been studying in our madrasa called Diniyat. Everything to do with Diniyat is external, everything to do with external is Islam. Now, he spoke about Iman. And he told about belief. If you tell a person, listen, I believe in Allah, I believe in the Malaika and the Kitab, and I believe in the Anbiya alayhi salam, and I believe in Hashar, and I believe in everything good and bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you cannot show this belief, you cannot display this belief. If someone tells you that you believe in the Malaika, show me. You cannot say, there is it, I believe it. So, it is all internal. Islam is everything external, and the belief is inside. The belief location is the heart. So location of the belief, location of the aqidah, location of what we believe in, and mostly unseen. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. We never see Allah, we believe. We haven't seen the Anbiya alayhi salam, we believe. We haven't seen the Malaika, we believe. We haven't seen, obviously, the Hashar Rashar, we believe. So everything about the belief structure is based upon يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And when the unseen becomes seen, then it's too late for belief now. So all our Aqeedah Kitab has got to do with Iman. And Iman is located in the heart. Now we got Ihsan. Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if to say you see him. If you cannot see him, you know he's watching. Now this is beautification of the action. This is adding sincerity, devotion, perfection, nicety of every action that we do it properly, correctly, nicely, as we present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with full devotion we do it. Now, respected elders, this has to got to do with the inside perfection. It is like the building. The foundation, respected elders, is our belief. Our belief structure has to be strong and powerful. And on this foundation comes Islam. Comes Islam, the pillars that you see, it's external, it is visible. And to add beautification of the structure, that is Ihsan. To add beauty in this building of ours, to add beauty to the Muslim's belief is the foundation and the structure of all that we do, everything that we do, and to add sincerity and devotion and humbleness and meekness, that is the beautification of that particular action. And you and I know that when you build a house or a building or a structure, the foundation alhamdulillah comes up. And the deeper the foundation, the better the building. The deeper the atari, the stronger the atari, the better the foundation. And you and I know, when it comes to finishing, then you get finished in the process. While the finishing touches, that is where the difficulty arises. And if you are a perfectionist, then you'll have a lot of problems with the finishing touches. You'll want to make it perfect. Islam wants us to do this. That have a strong foundation at times, and the Islam is there, that is the external, but the beautification of the action has to be perfect. When that beautification of the action is perfect, then alhamdulillah we'll be able to go near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let us look at it again. We're going slowly so that we don't get confused. We come first, Islam. Now Islam, I told you, is external. It's got to do with Amal, the external Amal. It's got to do with Diniyat. It's got to do with what we call jurisprudence. So the science of jurisprudence is developed from the first Islam, Iman. What to do with Yukminun Abil Ghayr, everything of the Unseen. That developed into the science of Aqidah, the science of Ilm al-Kalam, the science of diabolical theology. Now we got Ihsan, that's got to do with beatification of the action. That developed into what we call today Tasawwuf. That developed into Tasawwuf, wrongly translated as mysticism. Mysticism is something else, Tasawwuf is something else. Now that means jurisprudence has been proven from the hadith. Ilm-e-Kalam has been proven from the hadith. Tasawwuf has been proven from the hadith. And science of Qiyamah has been proven from the hadith. Now, what's left is this. Because you have got the Quran there, the Sunnah there, you got the Fiqh there, you got the Tasawwuf there, you got everything there proven from the hadith. So that encompasses the whole of Sharia. That is why they say that this hadith here is like how Surah Fatiha is to the Quran. This hadith is to the all the compilations of hadith. Now when you look at it, let us go back. When you look at Islam, Islam developed into jurisprudence. In jurisprudence, we have got four famous, illustrious, pious, righteous, knowledgeable, reliable Imams of fiqh. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Ibn Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Ahmad Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh. Now these four developed, and throughout the entire world you find their adherents, their followers, and those who adhere to the mazhab of one of them you will find throughout the entire world. Originally, respected elders understand something, that there were about 18 great Imams of jurisprudence, but filtering down history and lasting, four were left. Why four were left is very, very easy. Because these four developed their own principles in their science of jurisprudence, they compiled it, they had students, and they had textbooks written on it, and they proved what they substantiated from the Quran and Sunnah, and they had a complete ramification of their laws and regulations and commands. That is why it spread. The others that got left out by the side did not have students, did not have a proper syllabus, did not have a proper science behind it, did not have a proper jurisprudence principles behind it. That is why they got left. They were prominent also. So then we got Aqaid, belief, Ilm-e-Kalam. And in Ilm-e-Kalam we have got two famous Imams. Imam Abu Musa Ashari Rahmatullah Alayh and Imam Mansur Maturidi Rahmatullah Alayh. Now generally about these Imams we do not know. We the public do not know generally, because generally when a person goes up, he says, I'm studying Hanafi fiqh, Shafi fiqh, but he does not know that the Aqaid, the belief, who he is following and what is happening. These are two great Imams. And differences between these two great Imams are about 12 in nature. 12 which are what you call lafzi, which are technical in nature, but in reality they are only got to do dictionary and literal meanings and mental gymnastics. However, when you look closely at it, it is more or less the same. Then we come to Tasawwuf. When we look at Tasawwuf, because we Indians are linked to the Indo-Pak subcontinent, then generally you will find four great Tasawwuf masters that we follow. So that is the Chishtiyya, the Naqshbandiyya, the Suharbiyya, and who else? Okay, it will come to my mind. The Naqshbandiyya, the Chishtiyya, the Suharbiyya, and there is a fourth one. However, why we rely on these four? Because we are linked to the Indo-Pak subcontinent. Here we have to understand something. That people talk about Shariat, Tariqat, Hakikat, Marifat, and they get confused thoroughly in this discussion, because they think that Shariat is something else, Tariqat is something else, Marifat is something else, Hakikat is something else, whereas no such thing. Understand? that here Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining Islam, then Iman, then Ihsan. So when we look at it carefully, the person will have to have Islam. When he starts practicing Islam, then his inside would start becoming strong. And the rule is very simple. The weaker the inside, the weaker the outside. The stronger the inside, the stronger the outside. The weaker the Iman, the weaker the Islam. The stronger the Iman, the stronger the Islam. That is why if you tell a person, some person you tell him, see, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat on the floor and ate, and he kept a beard, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely punctual in the Salat, with Jamaat, in the Masjid, and you should adhere to it. You see, this person is vibrating. He does not know what to do. But another person, you tell him that see, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enjoyed what is good, forbid what is evil, he adorned the beard, his family had the hijab on, and you start telling him of the faraiz and the sunnah and the wajibat, that person say, I will practice upon him. Because that person's Iman is strong. When the Iman is strong, he'll be ever willing to sacrifice his life, his ribs, his senses, his desires for Islam. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and whom Ajmaid were in this position. That their Iman was of the highest level. That is why anything and everything Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, they said, our life is there, our property is there. Everything they were prepared to sacrifice. Why? Because the inside, the Iman was super strong. That is why Islam was super strong. When we make our Iman strong, our Islam will become strong. But because of our condition, every other thing we want to question in Islam. Lately I saw one person writing, I read it, astonishing. He says, no, you don't have to keep a beard because it is not written in the Quran you have to keep a beard. Well, the Quran is sufficient for us. Why? Why this reaction? Because they think Quran is sufficient. That fellow, who is a professional ignoramus, doesn't realize that the Quran is not sufficient. Then why? If the Quran was sufficient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have taken the Quran and put it on Mount Tur or Jabal al-Nur and said, the Ummat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take the Quran and understand it. One is the Kitab and one is the Rijal of the Kitab, the man of the book. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to explain to us the Quran. That is why if you look at the Quran, you cannot find where it is written you must make 2 rakats Jummah. 2 rakats, where it is? Where it is said you must make 4 rakats of Zuhr and 2 rakats of Fajr and 4 rakats of Asr and 3 rakats of Maghrib and 4 rakats of Isha. Nothing is written there. Where it says you must give 2.5% of Zakat. So, the Quran is there in basic. The elucidation, the expounding the Quran is the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just to ask the Molana of the area, just as go over time, they say, no, don't get this Mufti, talk too much. Now, respect the elders, I want to explain that the stepping stone, understand, a person from Islam, he will strengthen his Iman. When he strengthens his Iman, the next move is he's going to strengthen his Ihsan. And that is the perfection. That when you and I address myself first, then you, that when we are able to stand for Salat, and we should now try this, that at least in 2 rakats of Salat, that about twice only, that I am standing before Allah. What I am saying is very easy, but I tell you it is very difficult. The stand in 2 rakats of Salat, and in 1 rakat of Salat, think I am standing before Allah. And the next rakat, think I am standing before Allah. When I need ruku, think fully that Allah is watching me. I make the ruku properly, Allah is watching me. When I need sijda, think carefully that Allah is watching me. And Allah is my creator, nourisher, Rabb. Allah is my Malik. Allah is all powerful. Allah is watching me. Now when this happens with our salah, then inshallah no one will steal, no one will lie, no one will deceive, no one will drop any containers, no one will rob, nothing will happen. Why? Because the person will be afraid that I cannot lie and sell my goods, I cannot deceive and sell my goods, I cannot take an oath and sell my goods, I cannot behave badly to my wife, I will not verbally traumatize my wife, I will not hit my wife or my children. Why? Allah is watching me. Allah, who is all powerful, He can punish me anytime. Allah is watching me. I will not, whilst I'm driving, start hearing people and being rough with people. I will not, while I'm on the phone, start becoming vulgar and abusive. I will not, when I'm walking in the bazaar, look at everything that passes by. I will be aware that Allah is watching me. I will be aware that what I am looking at, Allah is also looking at. And I will be aware of everything. So the person must know that he has to practice on Sharia. And there is no such thing as tariqah is different. You get certain times the person, he says, no, Salat time, I don't have to make Salat. My Salat is made in Medina. How many times you hear of this fallacious argument or this fallacious theory, which is fallacious in nature, that the person is saying, oh, I'm making Salat in Medina, I don't have to make Salat here. That person will tell him also, don't eat here, eat there, while he's here. See what happens to him. See, Sharia has to be practiced upon. Then you come to the next stage, that is tariqah. And then you will get the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will get the cognizance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is marifat. Then you will start to know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How powerful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith, all our sciences around us are substantiated. Jurisprudence is substantiated. Ilmi al-Kalam is substantiated. The tawuf is substantiated. And the people on the truth, and the people on the right, are those who worry about these three aspects. They will worry about dinya. They will worry about jurisprudence. Now you get a group that says, now don't worry about these imams of jurisprudence. Just leave them aside. Do what you want to do. And then you will get another group. What you worried about aqeedah? What you worried about belief? Everything is in the heart. I believe in Allah. After that, don't worry about anything. Then you will get the majority of the public. They do not understand the science of tasawuf. They got lack mannerism, ethics. They lack respect. And one of the greatest catastrophes that is ruining our society, sometimes I'll discuss it, is lack of respect for the juniors, for the elders, and lack of affectionateness from the elders to the juniors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand this simple deen and practice upon it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to live and die with iman. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.